Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Niravishesha Shunyavadi Paschacharesh Dharane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Brahmanichananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hari Rama, 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 Hari Hari. Vanchakapatrubhyascha kripa sindhu bhyevacha. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita ki jai. Srila Sanatana Goswami ki jai. Gopremanande. So devotees, on Wednesday was the last day. We had a session. So on Wednesday, we finished the fourth chapter of the first part. And now we go on to the fifth chapter, which is titled Priya, the Beloved. And it's about Narada Muni meeting the Pandavas. At least initially, that's what it's about. So Narada Muni, of course, he was just in Kim Purusha Varsha with Hanuman, and Hanuman inspired him, of course, to come to Hastinapur to meet the Pandavas, who are so dear to Krishna, and who have got, he said, the greatest mercy from Krishna. So, first of all, from verse 1 to verse 6, Narada arrives, and there's a whole greeting, and it's interesting, it's very interesting, actually. The greeting. And then from verse 7, Narada begins his glorification of the Pandavas. All right, so we begin with verse 1. Let's see. Yeah, we'll just read through. We'll just read through verses and purports in one go. Oops. What happened now? Sorry. Some crazy happening. All right, here we go. So verse 1. Sri Parikshit said, Sri Narada, beside himself with joy, arrived dancing at the kingdom of the Kurus and raced into their capital city. Narada is such a character. He just becomes so inspired, so enlivened, and so excited to get the association of dear devotees, elevated devotees. So as the verse says, Narada was beside himself with joy. If you're not an English speaker, you might not, this idea of being beside yourself with something, with joy or with anything, you might not quite understand the idea, but the idea is that he's just so affected by the situation. Usually it's in the context of happiness, just so incredibly happy he just loses control, and this is called being beside yourself with joy. So So the situation is that, as we mentioned, this is Hastinapur, the traditional capital of the Kurus. And the Battle of Kurukshetra has fairly recently happened, not a long time ago. So, of course, in that battle, Duryodhana and his army were not just defeated, they were destroyed. They were simply annihilated, actually. And Maharaj Yudhisthira became the king, and of course, along with him, the other of the Pandava brothers, they became, you know, his main entourage, the king's associates, the king's brothers, of course. Yes. So therefore now Yudhisthira is ruling in the company of his brothers, and they're assisting in different ways, a lot of teamwork. So Narada arrives in Hastinapur, and then he finds them. So verses 2 and 3. And this is nice. This is really nice. This is quite something. Listen to this. Dharmaraj Yudhisthira was just then consulting his inner circle about how to see Krishna by bringing him on the pretext of some sacrifice or calamity. When the king heard that the great sage was at the door, he at once stood up with his brothers, mother, and his wives. Yes, so as we read, Narada arrived dancing in just total ecstasy, completely in ecstasy. Nothing else matters. Being beside yourself with joy means nothing else really exists practically. Right. So he arrived, and the doorkeepers informed Maharaj Yudhisthira, and they brought in Narada, and immediately Maharaj Yudhisthira and all the other brothers, as we read, brothers, mother, wives, and all the other assistants and people and whoever was around, they all stood up to greet Narada. Even though they had been deep in discussion, very deep in discussion of extremely important subject matters, just so important. And what was that? How are we going to get Krishna to come? We got to do something. Somehow get Krishna to come. So, of course, you know, an interesting point is that they were already busy. They were already busy, but still, I mean, not just busy, but they were deeply busy in something extremely Krishna conscious. How to get Krishna to come. But still, when a devotee came, they just stopped. It's significant, isn't it? That just like we read we hear how even if one is worshiping the deity, but when the devotee comes in, you should stop the worship to receive the devotee nicely, to receive the devotee appropriately, even if you're worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in a sense, this is what they did. They were deep in discussion about what to do, how to get the mercy of Krishna and get him to come. But when they realized that Narada, the great devotee, had arrived, they stopped the discussion. They stopped the discussion. And they just gave all attention to receiving Narada Muni. So they stood up, and then there's a description here of some of the things that they had been discussing. They had been discussing, or one idea they'd been discussing was, let us send Bhima to, or maybe someone else, but Bhima is the second brother, really. So he's more prominent. We'll send Bhima or someone else to invite Krishna to come to an Ashwamedha sacrifice. They were not going to have an Ashwamedha sacrifice, but they would just tell Krishna that they were going to do this. But they thought that if we tell Krishna that, then Krishna will know that to organize an Ashwamedha sacrifice, it really takes some time. So it won't bring Krishna soon enough. Krishna will say, okay, but, when's it going to start? And it'll be after some months, because it's really quite a big thing to organize. So Krishna wouldn't come soon. But then a second idea was to go send Bhima to tell Krishna that Hastinapur was under attack by some very serious enemies. And could Krishna please come and help defend against the enemies? Although there was no such attack, there was no threat, there was no idea of such a thing happening. But the thing is, they just felt desperate. We got to get Krishna's association, otherwise we cannot continue. Yes. So, it said here, in general, the Supreme Lord's devotees encounter two kinds of danger. One created by the Lord to proclaim his devotees' glories. The other simulated by the Lord's devotees when they're intensely anxious to see him. Anyway, whatever. But that's the idea. Two types of dangers. One actual danger created by the Lord, which the devotees, the great devotees, will have to deal with. But when they deal with it, they deal with it in such ways that they become glorified. They deal with the difficulty so perfectly that they set examples how to deal with difficulties. And that's really important for a devotee, isn't it? That's really important. We have to learn how to deal with difficulties. And how are we going to learn? Best way to see how the great devotees deal with difficulties, then we can follow in their footsteps and deal with difficulties in similar ways. Yeah, so that's one type of danger. It's created by the Lord to proclaim his devotees' glories. And the other is just concocted, as the purport says, simulated. It's a simulation. It's not the real thing. It's just an sort of artificial type of event. Simulated by the Lord's devotees when they're intensely anxious to see him. All right, verse 4. As Yudhisthira eagerly rushed forward to meet him, Narada came close and bowed down. Yudhisthira brought him into the assembly hall and with some effort made him accept a seat of honor. Yeah, with some effort made him accept a seat of honor. It was not easy because, after all, Narada has come to you could say, to worship the Pandavas, to honor the Pandavas, that you are the devotees who have received the most mercy from the Lord. So that means you are the greatest devotees. So he's come to honor them. Why would he let them honor him? No, he would just insist. No. But anyway, Yudhisthira, because he's the king, he's a very important man, highly respectable person. So Narada, and of course he's just a very great devotee, so Narada cannot really argue with him too much. So therefore, Narada, even though initially he didn't want to have some special seat or special respect offered to him, but because Yudhisthira was the king and he was insisting, Narada felt, I cannot refuse the king, I must do what he says. So he accepted a seat of honor. And then what happened next? Verse 5. As others had done before, dear mother, the king brought a large assortment of items for worshiping Narada. But Narada took those items and instead worshipped your fathers-in-law and their servants. So it's the same story. Yeah, they got him to sit down on some special seat somehow. But then you don't just sit someone like that down on a seat. I mean, you got to sit them down nicely. But that's not the end. When you're dealing with some super special guest like Narada Muni, you have to offer arati, you have to offer some worship, a program of puja and worship like that. So they sat him down eventually, but then they brought out the paraphernalia for offering arati and whatever else. And as we read, Narada took those things away and then started using those items for worshipping the Pandavas. This is a devotee. So let me read the purport here. Before the Pandavas could reach Narada at the door, the sage had already come close and offered his prostrate obeisances. Yudhisthira then at once arranged a paraphernalia for worship of Narada. Although other devotees like Prahlad had also tried to worship Narada, Yudhisthira had the means to offer the opulence of royal worship. But as soon as Yudhisthira began the worship, Narada stopped him, seized the items, and used them to worship the entire Pandava household, including the servants. Hari Bol. Parikshit Maharaja's mother, being a close relative of the Pandavas, could feel special pride in hearing this account. Sure. Amazing, just amazing. Okay, verse 6. Narada chanted at length the glories of the precious treasure of which Hanuman had spoken, which was Krishna's favor on the Pandavas. Narada accompanied his words by playing his veena. So, yeah. Anyway, let me just read the purport. Krishna's favor towards the Pandavas, like a vast treasure of material wealth, was precious and too extensive to measure. Narada sang the glories of the Pandavas in a sweet voice, embellishing the verses of his song with accompaniment from his musical instrument, the veena. Yes, what an amazing scene. What an amazing scene. The Pandavas are just such incredible people. Just the most amazing people. And they've done many amazing things. And they know. Well, they know many amazing things. But they have received so much mercy from Krishna. As they say, you could write a book about it. And there are. Mahabharata is basically about Krishna's mercy on the Pandavas. So, there's just such a vast amount of information about the Pandavas and just wonderful information. So Narada was at length singing about that. And when he sang, he was singing in a very sweet voice. And adding richness, musical richness to it by the accompaniment, his accompaniment with his veena. So now we come to verse 7. And here begins, from now till about 44, so that's, you know, that's a long, big section. Comes Narada Muni's glorification of the Pandavas and how he's convinced, completely convinced, that they got the most mercy from the Lord. They are the recipients of the greatest mercy of the Lord. Now it goes to verse 42, And gee, there's some really major purports here. Oh gosh, some huge purports. Oh really? Oh boy. Some really, really. So what I'm going to do is, as we do sometimes, not always, I am going to read through from verse 7 to verse 44, just the verses. So you'll get an idea of what's going on here and how Narada is glorifying the Pandavas and what particular characteristics of the Pandavas he particularly mentions and simply how they got so much mercy from the Lord and how that means that they're extremely dear to the Lord. All right, so I'm going to just read right through. It'll take a while. Fasten your seat belts. Sit back. Relax. And let's hear some nectar. Sri Narada said, "You are indeed the most fortunate persons on earth. The Lord of all lords of the universe is your dearest friend. He is your God, your spiritual master, your blood relation, your maternal cousin. He is your messenger, well-wisher, order-carrier, and charioteer." Okay. So verse 8. For Brahma, Rudra, and other demigods, he is difficult to realize even in advanced meditation. He can be known through the words of the Vedas only when one understands their special purport. Sriman Nrisinga, Sri Vamana, and Sri Raghavendra are his plenary expansions. Are they okay? Okay, here we go. Verse 9. All other incarnations of Godhead expand from mere portions of his plenary portions. Great gods like Brahma are considered his material opulences, and material nature is his maidservant. Standing always in view, ready to serve him, she enacts the creation, protection, and destruction of the universe. Sorry about the noise. We got no electricity. So we've got a generator just trying to run. Phew. And it's a space out. So yeah. So let's carry on. When Brahma and other demigods responded to the lamenting Mother Earth, together they all stood on the shore of the Milk Ocean, observing strict vows. They recited prayers and worshipped the Supreme Lord, meditating with full concentration. Nonetheless, they were unable to achieve his favor. Oh. 11. Brahma then perceived in his heart the Lord's command, which he heard as an unembodied voice in the sky. He repeated that command to the demigods, and they all became satisfied. Oops, what now? It was 11 service, 12. Only in some confidential meetings did wise sages like Garuga divulge who Krishna really is. He whom the personality of Godhead Narayan only partly equals, no one else is even coming close. And 13, thus we hear of Sri Krishna's presence in Mathura city as the deity called Dirga Vishnu, Mahahari, Mahavishnu, and Mahanarayan. 14. We can only pray to satisfy him through our disciplines of silence, peace, and devotion. But being materially satisfied with you, he has even submitted himself to your control. Whoa, it's amazing how merciful the Lord has been to the Pandavas. Please just hear what I have to say. Before Krishna gave the gift of liberation only to a qualified few. And this has always been the rule. So this is 16 and 17. Kala Nemi, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and others were killed by the Supreme Lord. But none of them received liberation. And pure devotional service was given to no one except Prahlad, who received it from the incarnation Sri Nrisinga. Verses 18 and 19. Later, the incarnation Lord Raghunath bestowed pure devotion upon a few, Guha, Hanuman, Jambavan, Vibhishan, Dasharath, and the blessed Sugriva. But in relation to those devotees, we never hear of prema, the utmost stage of pure devotion. Okay. He bestowed pure devotion on them, but not the utmost stage of that pure devotion, which is prema. 20. But now so many persons have been granted liberation, made devotees, and filled with pure prema, all by your maternal cousin. And by the power of his glory, demons fit for hell have become immortal after being slain by him or by such companions as Arjuna. Thoughtful sages like Vishvamitra, Gotama, and Vasishta were intent on austerities, mantra meditation, and spiritual knowledge. They had various goals in life. But while they were on pilgrimage at Kurukshetra, Sri Krishna mercifully inspired them to pray to him for pure devotion. Thus they obtained it and became fully dedicated to his devotional service. 24. Even immobile creatures in species covered by the mode of ignorance, trees, creepers, and so on, have been raised to the consciousness of pure goodness. Now those trees and creepers are raining down a nectar sap of Krishna prema. Whew. Wow, that's amazing. 25. Oh, Krishna's brothers, how can the infinite wonders of his bodily beauty, his effulgence, and his charm be properly described? Features so attractive have never been seen in anyone else. Twenty-six. Those unprecedented attractive features of Krishna leave one struck with amazement. So also do his pastimes, his qualities, his pure love, his glorious virtues, and the places where he sports. I think that had he not descended in his own original form, the world would never have known his true identity as the personality of Godhead. Now his identity as God has been shown, for he has appeared in all his splendor, adorned with his unique glories and the varied wonders of his charming sweetness. It's okay. We speak of Krishna's kindness, but even the punishments he metes out are worthy of praise. To this, there have been many witnesses, including Kamsa, Kaliya, and Putana, and in the more distant past, Bali and others. That's a purport. Verse 30. Sri Parikshit said, while singing enthusiastically in this way, the sage instructed his own tongue, which was greedy to chant the glories of Lord Madhava. Oh, you are too busy talking about the greatness of our master. To stop that tongue, he then seized it with his teeth. Hare Krishna. Whoa. It's really deep. 31. Dear tongue, he then acknowledged, this effort of yours attests to your great fortune. As far as you're able, just go on speaking something about these beloved devotees of Krishna. 32. Sri Narada continued, O great saintly Pandavas, is anyone bold enough to let his tongue describe the unique love for Krishna that each of you has, or the special mercy he bestows upon you? Okay, 33. Your mother Prita once heard from the mouth of Akrura a single statement by Krishna, sweet with affection, and meant to console her. As soon as she heard it, she plunged into a swiftly flowing current of prema. Wow. 35, 34, 34. She often lamented with poignant words that could shatter the heart of anyone who heard them. And she bore the burden of love for all of you, staying tied to you only because you're very dear to Lord Krishna. Mm. That's something, isn't it? having family members, generally family members are very dear. But in this case, she, the mother, stayed tied to her sons, the Pandavas, only because they were devotees. Otherwise, would have been different. 35. Krishna, the life of the Yadus, tried for a long time to leave for Dwarka, but by enveloping him with plaintive prayers, she kept him in her home. Yes, Queen Kunti. These are the prayers of Queen Kunti in the 8th chapter of the first canto. 36. Krishna bestowed upon Yudhisthira the highest prestige, greater than that of anyone else in the upper and lower worlds. And by favors, like allowing Bhima to kill Jarasandha, Krishna granted Bhima unequaled fame. 37. Saintly Arjuna became renowned throughout the world for his intimate friendship with Krishna. I can never sing all the glories of Arjuna, even if I recite hundreds of Puranas. 38. And as for Nakula and Sahadev, everyone has seen many times how fixed they are in love for Krishna, as shown, for example, by how those twins behaved in the deliberations on whom to worship first in the Rajasuya. We're getting there. 39. Lord Hari personally sanctified Sri Draupadi's hair during the Rajasuya sacrifice and other special festivals. He would call Draupadi dear friend. He relieved her of fear. He relieved her of fear of Atri's son Durvasa and fear of others, including Dushasana. He removed all her sorrow. Verse 40. Krishna relished Vidura's porridge. Well, okay, I heard of Vidura's bananas, but okay, porridge. And organized the celebration of Sri Bhishma's passing away. Please, therefore, judge your own standing from how, in many controversies, both Vidura and Bhishma took your side. Amazing. 41. Truly, the words spoken by the ordinary women of your city amaze me. Those words, focused on Krishna and imbued with transcendental knowledge and devotion, are praised in songs by accomplished poets. Anyway, there's an interesting point, but we'll get there on Monday. When Prahlad, the son of Kayadu, obtained the Supreme Lord's mercy, he did so along with a grandson. The best of monkeys was favored alone. But you rare souls have received the complete love and mercy of the great Lord Hari with all your family members and subordinates. Special mercy. Once in the court of the Kauravas, with me and other sages present, Krishna said of you, a friend of the Pandavas is my friend, and their enemy, my enemy. The Pandavas are my very life heirs. That's deep. 44. It's the last verse in this section where Narada is glorifying the Pandavas. Just see my arrogance. Only Krishna can adequately know and describe your good qualities. But at least I am convinced that the Supreme Lord has descended to this world only for the sake of you. Wow. All right, let's go back. We could finish, actually. But anyway, let's go back. And maybe we'll say a few words about one or two of the verses. Why, these have got, some of them got long purports. All right, so. Okay, let's do the first verse. It is, which one is it? What did I say? All right. Verse 7, Sri Narada said, You are indeed the most fortunate persons on earth. The Lord of all lords of the universe is your dearest friend. He is your God, your spiritual master, your blood relation, your maternal cousin. He is your messenger, well-wisher, order carrier, and charioteer. Well, you know, these things are true. These things are true, and there are many examples of these things. How Krishna was so close to the Pandavas. Anyway, let's go through. So his idea is, because the Pandavas had all these different types of relationships with Krishna in different ways, friend, God, spiritual master, relative, cousin, messenger, well-wisher, order carrier, charioteer. How many roles did Krishna play for the Pandavas? So Narada's point is that because Krishna took so many roles and really got into all of them with the Pandavas, therefore the Pandavas should be considered the most fortunate devotees. Let's see. So the Pandava's good fortune is practically unlimited. Either unlimited or exceptionally exalted. Unlimited quantitatively, or very exalted qualitatively. This is the nature of their good fortune. So even though they loved each other and they loved so many, even all living entities, still the main focus of their love was Krishna. And they love him, not just as their friend, but as their eternal master and protector. He's their spiritual master, guiding them in all aspects of their lives. And he was a family member, because Kunti, the Pandava's mother, is the sister of Vasudev, Krishna's father. So they're maternal cousins. Yeah. And of course, well, we mentioned the other day, Krishna arranged the marriage of his sister Subhadra to Arjuna. And Subhadra is not just a jiva. Subhadra is the Leela Shakti, the presiding deity of the pastime potencies of the Lord. So sometimes he became their messenger. He went to Duryodhan to try with a message, let's try not to fight. Let's just settle matters and we can be friends. So Krishna became the messenger. He's the benefactor because he drove the chariot. And then particularly as when Krishna was driving the chariot, he obeyed the orders of Arjuna without question. And Arjuna was telling him, go this way, go that way, faster, slower, around, maneuvering on the chariot like mad. And Krishna is just doing what he's told. So like this, he is called Ukti Tantra, subordinate to the words of his pure devotee. Yes, so as the purport says, all these relationships between Krishna and the Pandavas are pervaded by intimate affection. For the Pandavas, Krishna is the eternal object of worship, but more than that, he is their eternal friend. Arjuna and his brothers also worship demigods like Lord Shiva and spiritual masters like Drona. But the Pandavas' worship of Krishna is unique because it comes forth from unalloyed prema. Well, let me just close by making one final point here. Here in the purport it says they worship demigods like Lord Shiva. And you might think, wait a minute, they're meant to be pure devotees. And it says right here in the same sentence, that they worship Krishna because of unalloyed prema, but they also worship demigods. Now, what does this mean? That's a good question, isn't it? The thing is, the Pandavas knew there are many people in our kingdom who are not ready for pure devotional service. And they're not ready to become Vaishnavs even. But at least let us engage them in some dharma. We'll engage them in some dharma. Demigod worship. So at least they'll come up a bit. And later they can become pure devotees. So just to set an example for the very ordinary people that rather than just doing nothing, you can at least do some demigod worship. That'll be better than nothing. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Brihad Bhagavatamrita ki jai. Srila Sanatana Goswami ki jai. Go Premanande.